God bless you. You may be seated. And as you're seated, look at somebody next to you and say, "You're the most beautiful thing I've seen all day long." Amen. Zikoma kwambini, Pastor Alfaro, ni Mama Alfaro, machida buino nditu, and zikoma kwambini kwa my big dia. Did you understand what I just said? In the spirit, yes. That's a little language called Chichewa from a country called Malawi in East Central Africa, where we began our missionary career approaching now 28, 29 years ago. And I don't know how it stuck with me so long, because we don't actually live there at the moment. But I guess God has helped me with something. Someone asked me the other day, "How many languages do you speak?" I said, "Not more than 17. But now you interpret that literally. What does it mean? That could be one, right? It's not more than 17. But there are hundreds of languages literally in Africa. And many of them I know a little bit of, but there are very few of them that I know a lot of. But it's a bit of a challenge whenever you're trying to cross over these linguistics, these language lines, and minister. But God has helped us, and we give him praise for that. I do appreciate the opportunity to come and share with you about what God is doing in Africa. But not just about what God is doing in Africa, but what God can do in you and through you.
Thank you.
We've often talked about three things. We often talk about praying, giving, and going. I want to change at least the last one. I want you to pray, of course I do. I want you to give, of course I do. But I'm going to invite some of you to come with us to Africa. You know, we have for many, many years, since about the early 1960s, within the Assemblies of God in Africa, we've had somewhere in the neighborhood of 280 up to 300 missionaries there. And that has maintained that same number since the early 1960s. We don't have any more today, maybe one or two, but we're right at the same amount. And the church there is growing so fast that there is really no way that we can adequately do the ministry that God has called us to if we simply keep the same number of missionaries that's been there since 1960. Does that make sense? It does. And so we are here to not only challenge you this morning with your faith promise giving, and not only challenge you to pray for the missionaries as you have actually already done this morning, but we're also here to challenge you that you would give of yourself, that you would give of your sons and your daughters, so that we can do what God is calling us to do. So we can help Jesus come back again. Because he says, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached as a witness, as a testimony, in every tribe, to every tongue, to every nation, and then the end will come." If you are really looking for Jesus to come again, you're going to be doing something for the kingdom. And so I'm challenging you this morning to do that. You know, I'm a pretty simple guy. I come from Oklahoma, a little town called Jones. There's nothing more simple than that, is there? My last name is Moore, and my first name is Bill. There's nothing more simple than that. My father worked in a warehouse for General Motors. There's nothing more simple than that. But when I said to the Lord, "Here am I. I'm offering myself to you to be used by you," he took this little simple guy from Jones, Oklahoma, and sent him overseas to Africa so that we could plant churches, so we could disciple people, so we could teach in the Bible school, and so we could build churches. And that's what it's all about. You know, we're not really any of us placed here on this earth for anything except to do the will of God. Sometimes we get caught up in the daily living. I do that. This is not critical. We like to make the best of ourselves. We try to do what we can to have a better life. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. But the ultimate purpose of why we are on this earth, God put us here for a reason. And that was to do what He called us to do. That's what He came for, to seek and to save those which were lost. To go to those who've never heard the message of Jesus Christ and tell them about His wonderful love. Hallelujah. So we're calling to you. I think about some of our early church planting days. You know, we don't really know what time is in Africa. Time really means nothing. We are event-oriented there. We're not about what time we get done, and I know we are this morning, so I have to quickly go along. I remember one weekend we were going out to a little place in the northern part of that country of Malawi for the purpose of establishing a church. I had a double cab Toyota pickup. Now, not one of these big Tundras. It was the little one. Anybody know how many people fit into a double cab Toyota pickup? Any guesses? No, not four. You're not even close. 10? No, not even close. One more. It doesn't matter what number that you have in there already. There's room for one more. I have had that pickup filled so full, there probably was at least 8 or 9 people in the front end of it, and then I had a little canopy on the back of it, and I literally do not know how all of those people got in the back of that pickup, but they did. They were laying on each other, they were standing on each other, and they were just wanting a ride to go help us start this church. So we had went out on a Friday night, and we had the pickup, we had the trailer hooked on behind, and had a PA system and what. We were going to this Kawalazi tea estate. It's where they literally grow tea. And they had a big farm out there, and we didn't have a church there. And so there was a brother who had been living in the town where we lived, and he went out there and not with no church. He says, "You've got to come and help us." So we gathered the people from the local church together, and we went out there. So we went out on a Friday night, and I remember going out there because it was raining. It was wet. The roads weren't the best, though we had traveled on the paved road for probably 20 to 30 miles, and then we got off of it and got onto a dirt road, and we were heading up that road, and we kept seeing people wave at us. And I thought they were just telling us hi, being friendly. Africans are very friendly people. And finally, one of them got up and almost stood out in the road to stop us. And we said, "What's going on? What's happening here?" He said, "You see right up there, and probably wasn't a quarter of a mile up the road, a bridge was gone." I mean, it was just gone. I don't know if it washed away. I don't know what happened, but this is a main road. And that bridge is totally gone. There's no barricades. There's nothing like that up there. So unless these people would have taken care of us, or did take care of us like they did, we would have went right into that thing, and God just took care of us. So we went back up to the top of the mountain, up the paved road, and then we took the shortcut. And something I found out in Africa is you don't ever take the shortcut. It'll take you more time to get where you're going than if you take the long way, the regular road. Well, we got back up to the top of the mountain, headed down this mud road over the side of this mountain that was there. I will tell you, the pickup was going one way, the trailer was going the other way, but somehow we made it down, went in, we had services that night, went back out, had another Saturday night service, and then Sunday morning we went back in. And this was their first service. We arrived there probably by about 8 a.m. They had already been having Sunday school for a while. But when we arrived, they stopped, they greeted us, they welcomed us, and then they continued on with Sunday school probably at least another hour because they said, "These people are new converts. They need to be taught and they need to be trained." We said, "Hallelujah, keep it up." And then after that, they said, "Okay, let's go outside and determine what the order of service will be." Well, I went outside with them. They determined what the order of service would be, and I knew I was preaching, and I was ready to go. I probably had a 2-hour sermon ready, if that was long enough, but I was ready to go, and they went back inside, and all the time we'd been outside, they had been singing. And so when we get back in, they said, "And now it's time to start service." And so they sang, and they sang, and they sang. They loved to sing, and they went on for probably another hour to hour and a half of singing, and it was wonderful. Things happened. And then probably, they had testimonies. They had all kinds of things that happened. And finally, I think it was about 12:30, they said, "Now you can preach." So I preached. I've always figured, The preacher can preach as long as the singers can sing. Somebody get with me now. So I got up there and I preached, and I preached, and I preached. And we had an altar call. We had people come forward for salvation. We had them come forward for healing and filling with the Holy Spirit. We did the whole thing. And it's probably 2:30, 2:45 by that time. And I asked the pastor, are we done now? Can we go? I was ready for some good African food. I love African food. Well, most African food I love. There's a few things I don't. I have not become fond of the mice on a stick yet, the mice kebabs. Anybody want to try one of them? I asked a pastor I was traveling with one time, I said, how in the world do you eat those things? He thought I meant, how do you eat them? He said, you take them off the stick, you grab them by the tail, you tilt your head back, and you put the thing in your mouth. I said, do you mean to tell me that you eat, those claws, those beady little eyes, the teeth? You eat? He says, we eat it all. I think I'm glad it's you and not me. I wasn't ready for that afternoon, but I was ready for some food. He said, no, this is not all. What else are we going to do? He said, these people are just saved. They need to be baptized. They didn't have a baptismal there in that school where we were meeting, so we went down to the river. Took a little while to get down there. And so I asked the pastor, I said, now how are we going to conduct this baptismal service? He says, well, it's pretty simple. He said, we will sing, and then you will preach, and then we will baptize. I only had one sermon ready for the day, pastor, but while they were singing, I had more than enough time to get sermon number two together. So they sang, I preached, and we baptized people. Can we go now, pastor? He said, it's not time yet. I said, what else are we going to do? He said, well, these new converts, they have children. They need to be dedicated to God. Well, how do you have a child dedication service? He said, we sing and you preach. So I got sermon number three together. And we had a wonderful time. It was probably 4:30, 5 o'clock when we got out of there that day. But that's what it's about. It's bringing people to Jesus Christ. It's not about the time, though time is important, and I understand that. But what we're there for is not to get caught up in the little things, but to bring people to Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter number 5, it says this. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night long, and we haven't caught anything. But here's the key. But because you say so, we will let down the nets. Then what does it say after that? Let's read. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. There's a very key thing here, and that's the obedience that these gentlemen followed. They heard a command from God, and they did what he said. I, as that little boy from Jones, Oklahoma, I never had any plans on being a missionary. I never planned on being a pastor. I never planned on doing anything in the ministry other than helping our pastor. And that's a worthy thing, to help the pastor. Amen. But I had never had any plans like that. But when God spoke to me in a very simple voice, he said, I want you to be a missionary in Africa. Now, I had questions, but I said, Lord, if that's what you want, that's what I'm willing to do. And ever since that day at Southwestern Assemblies of God College those days in Waxahachie, Texas, where I, pastor like you, found my wife there. Hallelujah. Southwestern Bridal College, some people call it. And that's where I found my wife. She's from De Leon, Texas, out here southwest of Fort Worth a ways. And, you know, we met there, but it's a little different when you start talking to your wife about the call of God to go to someplace else. Well, you know, I knew the call of God was there so much that actually we weren't married at the time, but when I was ready to ask her to marry me, I said, I want you to understand one thing. And if you say no to this, it's all right. But you know that God has placed a call upon my life. And we're going to Africa if you care to join me. And she says, I'm willing to go. You see, you may not have a specific call yourself, but if you're willing to partner with those who God has called, then your job is equally important. How can they go unless they are sent? So this morning we're going to, in just a few moments, we're going to take those faith promise cards that's there in your bulletin. And we're going to ask you what it is that you can do to partner with us. We're going to ask what it is that you can do so that when our boats become so full, that you come along with us and they will be filled so full, not just ours, but your boat will be full too. So full that they will begin to sink because God's blessings is poured out upon you. You see, in this life that God called me to, I never knew how I would go to Africa. Not rich, nothing on my own, and I'm such an independent person that for me to ask someone to give me money, boom, I couldn't do it. But when God spoke to me, He said, you are not really asking for yourself. You're asking so someone else can hear the message. I think of a missionary friend of mine. His name is David Ferris. David is a geek. He's a nerd. You know any of those? Never mind. But David took his family to the far northeast part of the country of Chad. He used the abilities that God had given him to translate the Word of God into another language. But he had to get it out some way. You know what David did? He didn't have the availability to print what he had translated. But all across Africa, all across there, cell phones are huge. That may surprise a lot of you, but cell phones are there. I have been deep, deep, deep in the heart of the country of Congo, where I had to fly in because you could not drive a vehicle in there. And you would go, and there are cell phone towers there. There's no electricity. How do you charge a cell phone? Well, the cell phone companies were smart enough to have these panels, these solar panels, and have plug-ins there. So people could go, they could plug in their cell phone charger into the solar panel there by the tower. And they had coverage. And it's a phenomenon across Africa. There in northeast Chad, what David Ferris did was take the things that he had translated, put them on very small, these SD cards that fit in so many phones. He would take them, put the he would put everything on there, and then he would go distribute them throughout the region. And people love to have something like that. Muslim country, heavy Muslim, but they had something. They would listen and they would respond. How was David able to go? Because people just like you would give support. People just like you would fill out a faith promise card and say, I want to support people like David Ferris. One little side note, which is pretty cool. You know how he delivered those SD cards? On the back of a camel. Couldn't drive around out there. It was the Sahara Desert. So he would get on a camel and he would go for days upon days handing these SD cards out. And people receive the gospel. Why? Because there was somebody like him. I think about a couple by the name of Randy and Desra Freeman, who actually were church planters just outside of Dallas, just on the north side of Dallas. Doing very well, very successful in his church. But God began to deal with Randy. And Randy said, "Lord, if that's what you want me to do, I'll go overseas." Randy left that lucrative position that he was in there. He left, he took his family, four kids, his wife, and went to a place called Swaziland in southern Africa. When he got there, he began to plant churches again. He began to raise up communities of hope, which is a outreach in a local village, which was build a church and then build some self-sustaining type businesses. For example, they would have pigs, they would have chicken houses, they would have gardens, and then additionally, as time would allow, we have been able to join with him in building using tabernacles that we work with to build some dormitories for an orphanage that's there. And today, the one that I was just at recently is up and moving. Why? Because there are people just like you who said, "I will give so that others can go. We will give so that people can do the word that God has called them to do." I could go on and go on and go on and tell you story after story, to give you our life and tell you how that for almost 28 years now, we went to Malawi. When we first went there, we had 202 churches. And I just saw figures recently after we had gone in and we began to plant churches ourselves and hold evangelism crusades, build church buildings to help the local congregations out. There's now almost 4,500 churches in that same country. God is pouring out His Spirit. Hallelujah. We have across the continent somewhere near 17 million Assemblies of God believers. If things simply continue as they are, by the end of this decade, we're going to have somewhere in the neighborhood of 24, 25 million believers. Why? Because revival is happening. But we can't do it by ourselves. I'm calling to you today. I'm in that one boat. I did what God called me to do. I left my home. I left my country. I left my friends and my family. And I moved to a place 10,000 miles away because Jesus said, "Let down the nets for a catch one more time." And then when the churches started growing up, when the new church plants started happening, I had to come back, and I'm saying it again to you today. Come on over and help us. I'm calling to you today. Come on over and help us. Whether it be with your finances, whether it be with your prayers, or whether it be with your coming to join us, we need you. This gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all of the world, and then will the end come. I finish with this one final story. There was a gentleman by the name of Kingsley Kamanga. Kingsley lived in the capital city of Malawi, a place called Lilongwe. Kingsley had a good job. But when he got off work, every night he would head straight to the local bar. Missionaries like Randy and Desra Freeman can leave the place where they are and go overseas. We have no way of making money there. That's not what we're there for. We're there to be missionaries. Governments wouldn't let us make money if we wanted to. So we solely depend upon the faithfulness of God through individuals like yourself who will say, "I will make a promise. I'll make a promise to God. I'll make a promise to the church that as God enables me, I will support the missions department of this church so that they can send this money on to missionaries so that we can get this message out. How can they go unless they are sent?" Father, we love you and we praise you today that you are here in this place and you are able to speak to our hearts. You're able, Lord God, to use us. And so I simply ask you to do that this morning. I ask you, Lord, that you will speak to us. I ask you, Lord, that you will speak to the hearts of your people. I ask you, Lord, that you will put an amount in our mind, in our spirit, that we are able to do as you help us. You may be speaking something to us that seems like it's impossible to do. It'd be impossible to give that, but Lord, just as much as you're able to speak to this little boy from Jones, Oklahoma, to go overseas, you're able to provide. You're able to provide for these individuals so they can give to you what you're speaking to them about. So, Father, I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would empower them. I pray that you would provide for them as they do your will. And, Father, I pray for this church as they seek to move forward with what they're doing here in this community, this area, but also what they're doing in growing their missions program. I pray, Lord God, that you would use them so that the untold hundreds and thousands of people around this world can hear your message before it's too late. We pray this in your name. Amen. Lord, a hand clap this morning.
Feel led to do it, fill out the mission's promise. The way we do it is, once you fill this out, you'll give a monthly offering, whatever you give, you want to give. We'll raise, every first of the month, we raise a special missions offering, and that's what this is about. You're committing that every, that first week of the month, you're going to give a special offering. And whatever God puts in your heart.